Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, the Bible doesn't say someone else's sin. And tonight, I want to speak with you about our secret sin. And we all have them. And so tonight, I want to try and get into this psalmist, into how he felt when he wrote this psalm. And so often, we read of great accounts of Moses as a great leader. We read of all of his background, of how he was trained in Egyptian culture and how he had that magnificent training in his early days. And then those 40 years in the wilderness. And then as a leader of the people of Israel. And you know, sometimes we get captivated in the greatness of a man. And we lose sight of the fact that the man is only human. He's weak, fragile. And here, in Psalm 90, Moses, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has written three little words, our secret sins. The Moffat translation puts it this way, thou, talking about God, thou dost expose our sins and layest our guilty secrets bare before thee. Sometimes I like to read of what happens to other great men of God, and the great evangelist of days gone by, D.L. Moody, used to say in one of his sermons, how would you like it if your secret sins were suddenly made public and you were seen at this moment to be the person you really are? Now I ask you, what is it that prevents revival in your life and mine? What is it that prevents revival in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure that you would agree that it is our secret sin. You want to say amen? And we all have them until we deal with them. And they're dealt with by the holiness of God through genuine repentance. But I'm so grateful that when Moses wrote this psalm, he didn't say your sin. He said our sin, and by that he included himself. So often we find faults in others who have secret sins, and we're blind to our own secret sins. I remember when I was a student pastor, I shall never forget it. I was only in this church about 3 months, and a couple of dear old ladies had gone to an assembly meeting, and someone asked them who their pastor was. And they said, Ron Baker, and they said, oh, did you know that your pastor is an alcoholic? And I'll never forget the Sunday morning after that meeting, they came back, and they wanted to tell somebody else in the church congregation. And so they decided to do it with one of those loud whispers when the offering was being taken up. And this is what happened. One led over to another dear old lady, and she said, do you know our pastor is an alcoholic? I didn't preach the sermon that morning. I told him my testimony. I said, yes, I'm an alcoholic. I said, do you want to hear some of my secret sins that have been nailed on the cross? And by the time I told him my testimony, I never heard another person in that church until I went to my second church ever speak about the fact that their pastor was an alcoholic. It's so easy to see the secret sins in someone else and be blind to the secret sins of your own life. Now, beloved people, in this gospel meeting tonight, I believe, and I believe strongly, that God is speaking to you and not someone else. I want to ask you tonight, is your heart right with God? You know, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and it is desperately wicked. And I want to encourage you never to trust your heart. And I know that when preachers preach the Word of God, the way that the Holy Spirit wants me to preach tonight, I know that you will be convicted. But there'll be no conviction if the preacher hasn't been convicted. And perhaps at this moment you're resenting the preacher. Well, may I tell you lovingly that your very resentment is a secret sin. And did you know that our secret sins are the very source of every outward sin? You see, behind every sin that we commit in secret, there is an outward sin that often reveals the fruit of the secret sin. Christ said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man, for out of the heart, that is, the secret recesses of the heart,
proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, false witness, blasphemy. And these are the things that defile a man. Now, I ask you, where do these things come from, these outward things? They come from within, from the hidden recesses of the heart. And the Bible clearly teaches that it is the hidden sin behind the open sin every time. Then what about King David? He also committed a very grievous open sin, a horrible fleshly sin that became public when a baby was born to Bathsheba. But before any public act, there was a private committal of sin in the heart and the imagination of the man David. You know the story well. You know how he was on the roof of the palace, probably with plenty of time on his hands, and he saw Bathsheba, and how he lusted after her. And it wasn't long before the secret sin became an open sin. And long before David got into bed with Bathsheba, he had committed it all. And then what about the case of Ananias and Sapphira? It was a public sin. You know the story, how they walked in and brought their gift and laid it down at the feet of the apostles and made out that it was all of their gift. And behind the public sin was the private deception which had entered into their hearts, into which they had together agreed to cheat the Lord and to hold back part of the price for what they got for the property themselves. That's a secret sin becoming public. And I've done that and had to repent of it through bitter tears. How many of you tonight would be prepared to stand and say, we have no secret sin, we have not lied to God the Holy Spirit? How many of you could stand? Stand up if you can stand up and say, I have no secret sin and I have not lied to the Holy Spirit. Can you stand up? Well, it looks like we better nail him on the cross tonight. You see, God is gracious and he's giving you another opportunity to repent in this gospel meeting tonight. Ananias and Sapphira didn't repent. And you know what happened to them? God consumed them in what the Bible calls the sin unto death. You see, here in Psalm 90 and verse 8, Moses says, thou hast set our iniquity before thee, our secret sin in the light of thy countenance. You see, the Lord sees and he knows our secret sins. Now I ask you in this gospel meeting tonight, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Is it not to convict of sin? Oh, you say yes, but the Holy Spirit only convicts the unbeliever of sin. Oh no, I don't find that in the Bible. The Holy Spirit convicts the unbeliever and the believer. Are you sensitive to the ministry of God the Holy Spirit? You see, it is God the Holy Spirit who will reveal our secret sins. And right now, God the Holy Spirit wants to reveal your secret sins. And are you willing to say yes to the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and repent of your secret sins and get into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Also, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit is to convict us regarding God's righteousness. And you see, God's righteousness will not tolerate secret sins that are unconfessed and unrepentant. You see, when Ananias and Sapphira were removed by sin unto death, the whole church was reminded of the righteousness of God, and a holy and a righteous God will not tolerate unrighteousness. Maybe in all the years you've been a Christian, you've wondered why Ananias and Sapphira were consumed in the sin unto death. Well, the answer is simply this, that God wanted to remind the early church of his righteousness. And perhaps at this moment you're becoming a little uncomfortable and you know that you have unconfessed secret sins. And you might ask, has what happened to Ananias and Sapphira ever happened since? Oh yes, it has. Several times. Many of you will remember the great Welsh evangelist Ivor Powell. I've got a number of Ivor Powell's books in my life.
And one night in a meeting, a man who had been tormenting and being very, very unkind and ungracious came to Ivor Powell this night and had another go at Ivor Powell, and he said, "I'll see you in the morning." And Ivor Powell, in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "You will not be here tomorrow." And the man turned to walk away from Ivor Powell, and he dropped dead. God had consumed him. God will consume anyone because he wants to teach and remind his church of his righteousness. Sometimes God the Holy Spirit speaks to us directly, and there are times when he speaks to us instrumentally, that is, by bringing the Word of God to bear upon our conscience. What does your conscience say tonight in this meeting when I read this verse of Scripture? "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." You know the story. Here are two Christian women at loggerheads, each guilty of secret sin, sin of pride. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Have you ever gone to God in prayer and offered yourself to God and offered him all of your gifts, whatever they may be, to suddenly hear the voice of God say, "I cannot accept"? Did that ever happen to you? It happened to me. And you see, God will not accept anything that we offer him if there are secret sins in our lives. Would you not agree that the open barrier to harmonious fellowship can only be broken down as secret sins are dealt with? Let me ask you again, what does your conscience say when I read a verse of Scripture like this? "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Again, what does your conscience say when I read these verses of Scripture? "Wherefore, putting away lying, untruthfulness, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't nurse a grievance, neither give place to the devil. Leave no loophole for the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do not have anything to do with bad language." Oh, many of us would not go out tonight and get drunk, would we? We wouldn't even commit adultery, would we? We wouldn't thieve, we wouldn't do anything. That is, we would not commit the sins of the flesh. But what about the sins of the Spirit? What about our pride and our jealousy and our bitterness and our criticism of others and our unforgiving spirit? And what about that awful resentment? We need to admit our guilt, as Job did when he said, "Oh God, I am vile. Oh God, I am vile." The book of Job is about divine discipline. For sure, Job suffered a lot. But as Job was under divine discipline, he cried out, he says, "Oh God, I am vile." And then there was Isaiah who said, "Oh God, I am undone." And then there was a time when King David cried, "Oh God, I am a worm in thy sight." What about the great apostle Paul when he said, "I'm carnal, I'm the chief of sinners"? What about Peter when he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man"? As I look at many of these great men in the Bible and the great women of the Bible, and again as I look at Moses tonight, this great leader, this man that was used of God in a most dramatic way, when I look at what the Bible says of these men, I also see the honesty of these men who confessed their secret sin. That's why God used them. The Bible says we are to confess. But let me say this, it's not enough to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Oh no. We must come before the Lord and say, "Lord, you have put your finger
on my secret sin. And the word confess in the Greek is a very interesting word because it literally means to name the sin. To name. Whatever the sin is. Lord, I'm jealous. I'm untruthful. I entertain evil thoughts. Lord, why am I stealing my employer's time every day? And I saw this a lot when I was an evangelist traveling around Australia. I was taken at Broken Hill to look over the mines, and I was taken down the mine shaft, you see. Always remember coming up in the cage, and one old miner, he hadn't been informed as to who I was. And he said to me, he said, you just started digger. And I said, oh, yeah, mate. I said, I've been on the road a little while. He said, oh, he said, it's good. He said, you'll make a mine. And the other guy that knew what I was there for, he said, he's not one of us, mate. He's a miner of souls. And the old guy nearly had a heart attack. But I watched those guys at Broken Hill rob their employer of time. They were given 15 minutes in their timesheet to shower, but they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted half an hour, and they were taking 15 minutes of the company's time. Perhaps you're saying tonight, Lord, I'm not a murderer. I've never murdered anyone physically. But have you murdered someone else? Have you murdered a pastor by the things you've said about him and spread around the church or wherever? I must confess, I just love walking behind them when they're talking about me. And I tell you what, there's seven colors in the rainbow, but they've got more than seven. Perhaps you're saying, Lord, as a leader in the church, I'm proud and I'm a manipulator. I'm not humble. Tonight, beloved people, let us confess our secret sins. You see, the Bible says if we confess, and that word confess means name, if we name our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And did you know that confessing means forsaking? And did you know that the Bible says clearly that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What's the number one problem in Australia at the moment? The way we're going. Is it the government? I don't think so. You know where I think the problem lies? Right at your feet and mine. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, turn from their secret sins, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal them. Do you long to see your loved ones saved? Do you want a good marriage? Do you want a good relationship with your children? You can have all if you'll confess your secret sin. May I say tonight, lovingly, that there have been many secret sins I've had to nail to the cross of Christ, and I wouldn't dare preach to you until they were all nailed. We want a church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ to grow. We want it to flourish. We want people to get saved. We want revival to break out. But you know as well as I do that none of this can happen until we, the people of God, have nailed all our secret sins on the cross. And my great heartache for you is simply this, that when you nail all of those secret sins to the cross, you place them all back where they belong, where they can be forgiven, where you can be restored and renewed through genuine repentance. You're going to see your loved ones saved. Our boy was in the wilderness for 16 and a half years. He got away from the Lord and he spent 16 and a half years in a wilderness. And I used to evangelize and stand on the platform and see many young men coming to Christ. And I used to go back to the room where I was staying and I would say, Lord, why? Why? And as I came here, the Lord broke me because I saw the state of this church and I saw the demonic power. And it was a week before the Lord brought our son back to himself that I went down into my study and I said, Lord, remove that secret sin of anger and place it on the cross. And I truly repent. Now, nobody ever saw that anger except the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe and I say to you tonight with hot tears of regret that it was that secret sin of anger that probably kept our boy away from the Lord for 16 and a half. Because when it was nailed on the cross, our son came back to Christ. And when he came to see me, I loved him and I hugged him and I cried with him and I told him, I said, son, I was angry for too long. I was angry for too long. That our boy was brought back to Christ. I was at fault. Could it be tonight that you're at fault? Could it be that your loved ones are away from the Lord tonight because of you? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the head of the church. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see every secret sin in our life. You see that which no other human being can see. And our Father, you long that we bring those secret sins to the cross and nail them there. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll give us strength now to be honest with you, honest with ourselves, and honest with one another. Amen. 227. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come. You come now. Oh, I'm not asking you to confess them publicly and hang out your dirty washroom. That's not Christian. I'm asking you to come and nail them on the cross and confess them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to share them with another human being, that's your business. That's your prerogative. But just come that we may pray for you tonight. You know, I thank God that it was God the Holy Spirit who revealed that sin of anger to me about my own boy. And maybe tonight the Holy Spirit has reminded you of a secret sin that you need to confess. You come.
Jesus.